Well, if you just come back to London, you'll see that in the evening we're taking through a series on prayer. We've looked at what it means to approach God in His holiness, and last Sunday night, what it means to come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we pick up the theme of prayer with praise and thanksgiving as being part and parcel of our prayer life and our worship towards the living God. Now, this is a wide subject, and thus it makes it difficult to grasp, I think, in actual preaching, to know where to go and how to approach it. But it would be good if we began together from Hebrews 13 and verse 15, that you'll find on page 212 in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Page 212, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. This is the epistle that's spoken about the approach to God through Jesus Christ, our boldness to enter into the holiest. And here in this verse, it seems to be a collection of exhortations. It says, 13:15, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Praise and thanksgiving. I want to suggest first to you that praise and thanksgiving should be a spirit within our lives. Before we start looking at the specifics in the way in which we might use this in worship and in prayer, let's first lay the fact that there should be, in God's goodness, a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, so that it becomes natural that when we come to pray, there will be prayer with thanksgiving, as we heard read to us in the Philippians passage earlier this evening. Or in the Colossians passage, that whatever we do, we shall give thanks, that thanks and praise will be part and parcel of our life as a Christian believer walking with the Lord. Now, I think it's important to grasp this and to lay this firmly as a foundation. For instance, it's true in other spheres of life. If you have a spirit of loving encouragement. On Boxing Day, our families went down to visit an elderly and beloved uncle on my wife's side of the family. He was in a Christian nursing home in Worthing, and they were exceedingly kind and gracious to him. They enabled us all, some, I've forgotten how many we were now, but a lot of us, to share with him. And in fact, it was lovely because he went to be with the Lord just a matter of days later. And he just couldn't say enough about this nursing home. They're absolutely marvelous people here, so wonderfully kind, so good to me, and so look after me. And he went on. He was absolutely full of absolute encouragement and admiration of all that they did. And, of course, the nursing home said the same about him. It's marvelous having Mr. Briggs. What a wonderful man he is. He's such an encouraging man, and so on. Well, once you start it, it's a mutual thing, isn't it? When you have a person with a spirit of encouragement and joy, then it brings it back. All of you working in hospitals know this difference with patients, I'm sure. You get the miserable kind that spread gloom to about three beds on either side of them. And you get those where the curtains gently flap with the sort of joy that emanates from their bed. And you know that if a person is joyful, it is much easier for you to respond to them. And when they're gloomy, it's not easy, unless you have that sort of resilient, cheer-up sort of mentality, to deal with them. In other words, many people have a spirit, some of gloominess, some of joyfulness. And I want to say to you that in the same way, brother and sister in Christ, there should be about the Christian a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, which emanates from us and which encourages others within this particular spirit. Now, you find this as something within the life of Jesus. He takes the bread for feeding the 5,000, and he gives thanks as he breaks it. He takes the meal at the supper table at the Last Supper, and he gives thanks. He gives thanks for the bread and for the wine. When his disciples understand and grasp something of what mission is all about, he gives thanks to God that he's revealed it not to the wise, but to those who are almost in the world's eyes babes and simple people. And you see in time and time again in the life of Jesus, just praise and thanksgiving, not, you know, this is the slot and for the next 5 minutes I'm going to praise, but rather coming up just naturally and spontaneously within his life, giving thanks and praise and thanks and praise at different points. And when you read the account of the early church in Acts, you get the same feeling that this was what was going on. It tells us at the end of Luke 24 that they were continually in the temple blessing or praising God. Now that's quite something, because the temple services must have left a lot to be desired. And yet you find them there in the more formal setting, able to take hold of this setting and in it to praise God. Or you find them in the same area in Acts chapter 2, moving around from house to house as well as in the temple, and again with praise and thanksgiving. And you have the feeling, not that they were exuberantly dancing around and prancing about all the time, but rather that there was this emanating spirit of praise and thanksgiving amongst our forefathers in the faith of the early church. Now, when you have that spirit of praise, then it is more easy to gear in to the more congregational or formal or organized times of praise. Now, think of this evening. Now, we've been trying to praise this evening in a number of hymns. Now, if you came, as it were, cold to this service tonight, feeling a long way away from God, and you had trouble at Oxford Circus Underground Station, and you dropped your glove in the gutter, and you tripped on the bottom step coming into church, and different things like this, and you really felt a bit fed up. Now, it would take, I don't know whether you, when you began to praise, if you have caught up yet, perhaps by the last hymn, it does take a little while to move in. But if you had come preparing your heart for worship, regardless of the upsets that might have happened on the way in, and you had come wanting to come to grips with a living God and seeing in a spirit of thankfulness the things that God had been doing for you in this week, I guess from the moment we started that first psalm tonight, come sing praises to the Lord, you were praising God. Now, nothing that we can do in organizing the service can cross that bridge for you. We can lay on 100 trumpets and all the mightiness of the organ and get Noel doing his absolutely mightiest with the instrument up there and the choir singing our hearts out and everything. But none of that will help you praise from the heart, maybe with your lips, from the heart, unless you are coming in the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. You see what I'm driving at? You can't just turn it on. Right, next 5 minutes we'll praise. But rather praise bursts out, and when there are opportunities to join together and praise the Lord, well, super. Count me in. So that we find this moving through in cheerful mood, says James. You're feeling cheerful? Well, sing praise. Don't waste it. Put your cheerfulness in the right direction. Or, as we see the early church again, when they face difficult circumstances. I mean, how would you feel, as Acts 16 records it, having been arrested, wrongly imprisoned, beaten with rods and clothes torn off you to be beaten, stuck in the darkness of a dank inner prison, your feet put in the stocks, and there it is, the middle of the night. And we read in the Bible, as you know, that there was Paul singing praises to the Lord. Well, that takes some doing. And it only happens if there is within you a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, doesn't it? You can't think, now it's midnight, I'm feeling utterly miserable, so I'm going to start praising. It doesn't quite happen like that. But there they were, singing praises to the Lord in the midst of difficult circumstances. Because the Lord was the center of their praise and not the circumstances, that is the key to the spirit of a praise and thanksgiving. If your praise and thanksgiving is always geared to circumstances, then it goes up like the sort of switchback at the fair. Sometimes you're up on the top and tap, 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 praise, and sometimes you're sort of down here somewhere, and so you can't praise. You go up and down. But when your praise is set in God himself, then it is able to emanate, to come forth even in the most difficult circumstances. So later Paul writes to the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now let's press that. It is not give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Now that is very important because some Christians seem to be led astray by some books that have come out in recent years that tell us you should praise God for everything. The Bible does not say that. But that we praise God in all circumstances. Isn't that so? This is very important to grasp. You see, some people who have swallowed these books would say to us about the Manorum accident, you'll only get the victory when you praise God for the accident. I think that is horrific. The accident is ghastly. But that you can find ways of praising God in that situation is biblical. There's a world of a difference in those two statements. We hear on the news of this 12-year-old boy who was taken and battered and his skull almost sort of crushed in this week by a man. Some people say you should praise God for that. I can't praise God for that, nor does the Bible want me to praise God for that. It wants me to pray and be concerned about a sick society in which we live. But there may well, in God's goodness, still be ways of giving thanks in all circumstances. And one way in Manorum at this moment will surely be to praise God that all those who were caught in this accident belong to the Lord. That is about the one great redeeming feature in the midst of it that enables us as Christians to give thanks, not for the accident, but for the fact that these people are with the Lord. So there is this emanating spirit of praise that comes in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. And one way, again, that we might even praise God from our own congregation about the Manorum incident is that Dr. Rex Barton, who's part and parcel of our church family on the Proco Church Council, has gone out, was going out to India and Thailand and so on. His trip has been delayed and delayed, and on yesterday morning, he flew to Manorum Hospital. While he was in the air, the accident happened. Now that hospital, devastated medically, has got a doctor fresh from Britain actually arriving there last night. Why did Rex have to change his time and flight several times? I believe in God's mercy that this was part of his undertaking in the midst of this awful situation. So let's take this clearly. Some Christians, I think, again, you find them, they say, how are you? They say, praise the Lord. Everything's awful. It doesn't quite come out as quickly as that, but they say, praise the Lord, and as you talk to them, you realize that they think everything's awful. So why say, praise the Lord? Start by saying, everything's awful. That's what the psalmist does. And then say, but in spite of that, I thank the Lord for being with me. That's praise in all circumstances and seeing our way through. Then, of course, there are special times when it emerges, like in Acts 3, when the lame man is healed. What better way of praising God than walking and leaping as he prays God? And when God meets us in special times of prayer and his answers come again, it's quite natural for us to say, praise the Lord. As you'll know, as it's recorded in the book about it, the incident when we were still struggling in our minds about how we solved the situation of this historic building against all the pressures that were upon us, and how John Stott had said publicly, at least not all that publicly, but it became very public, that the only answer was to have a bomb on this building so that we could start again. That was before we got to this particular solution. And it was during that same period that the police came to me one night at 10:30 and said, we have to tell you, sir, that there's been a phone call to say that there is a bomb in your church. To which I said, praise the Lord. And much was the surprise upon the policemen's faces. But this is the sort of area that time and time again, because God gives us a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, it comes out in different ways, in different circumstances, in different situations. It doesn't just have to be organized and laid on. And this is true within our prayer gathering. I hope we come with a spirit of praise as we begin there with praise and in our personal times of prayer. The psalmist says he praises God 7 times a day. And that's almost a sort of regular pattern. And almost means, I think, that time and time again he will praise God. Some of us may feel more able to praise at one time of the day than the other. I noticed next to Henry Michelson's desk, our church administrator, a little card there today that says, "Is there life before breakfast?" And some of you may feel with Henry, or whoever gave him the card, that praising God in the early morning is a very difficult thing to do. But at least seek to begin the day when you first open your eyes and thank him for a new day in which to serve him and love him. At least we can do that, even while we're still lying in bed. So pray for a spirit of praise. I need to pray for that. Sometimes I get very burdened with the situation here. And I need, constant reminder by my staff team to start praising a bit more rather than just being overburdened. And to see some of the immense joys God has given us within this church family. But you'll know that in the normal Anglican liturgy, we pray, "Lord, open our lips, and then our mouth will show forth your praise." And we know that the spirit of praise comes as we pray for it, and long that God, the Holy Spirit, will constantly keep us in a spirit of praise. Now, how do we praise, or what do we praise God for? What is the content of praise? For praise and thanksgiving is not sort of jigging and shouting and singing. These may be the vehicles of the expression of praise and thanksgiving, but they are subordinated to the content. It is what we are praising God for and who we are praising that really matters. Let me suggest to you a number of main headings that you may find helpful. I notice some of you are taking notes. That you may find helpful in, perhaps, as I want to suggest at the end, in forming some sort of praise book that it can encourage you in categories of praise in your own prayer life. Firstly, the Bible shows us that we praise for God himself. We did that in Psalm 103 tonight. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Yes, we go on, "Forget not all his benefits," but we began by blessing the Lord. We began in the opening psalm tonight by saying, "Let us sing to the Lord, to the rock of our salvation." And if we're going to find constant cause for praise, we will find it, most of all perhaps, in the character of God. I was surprised when I looked at the concordance and looked up praise and thanksgiving in preparation for this sermon to find how little praise is mentioned in the New Testament. And how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times it's mentioned in the Old Testament. And part of that is that in the Old Testament there is a greater sense of praising God for creation, as we'll come to in a moment, but also for God himself, his steadfast love, his patience, his mercy, his majesty, his goodness towards us. So let's learn to know God more, that we may praise him more as God. I'd love to hear more praise in our prayer gathering to God for who he is and what his character is and what he means to us. Secondly, let us praise and thank God for creation. As I mentioned just now, this is a constant theme, particularly in the Old Testament and in the Psalms. The psalmist watches the storm clouds build up across the desert, and suddenly the sandstorm whipping across the desert and the trees on the edge being moved in the wind. And he sees this, as you know in the Psalms, as a picture of God crying, "Glory, glory, glory." God's power and majesty in creation. There's a wonderful version of it in Psalm Praise. And he has eyes to see and ears to hear, to understand and enjoy the creation of God. Surely, brethren, as people belonging to the Lord, that ought to be true of us. We of all people ought to enjoy his creation. to love the scenery, to see the buds on the trees when they come, and to love the crocuses in the park when they appear. It was marvelous after the funeral for this uncle just last week at the Worthing Crematorium. It was fairly late in the afternoon, and I thought it would be rather dark afterwards. It was a marvelous service together of praise to God. And as we came away from the crematorium, the whole sky was shot ablaze with the setting sun. It was absolutely fabulous. You know, marvelous just going back down the road, seeing this. Wonderful to step back and see the delicacy of frost on the trees, to enjoy and wonder at growth and food and sun and scenery and the resources of this universe and the abilities he gives us. It's amazing, isn't it, what he's enabled man to do. Try listing the things in creation for which you want to praise the Creator. And know that in heaven, part of the song, as Revelation 4 tells us, will be, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and they exist." Thirdly, praise in the Bible is for redemption. Revelation 5 again takes this on, "Worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And there should never, ever be a time under God when you and I, who have been saved by the precious blood of Christ, do not have cause to praise him for that. It is an unfailing cause of praise. You see this time and time again in the New Testament, particularly now, of course, over redemption. "Thanks be to God that he has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord who has begotten us again into this lively hope. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Time and time again it comes out. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, for Jesus, for what the cross and resurrection mean to me. That's why part of our coming to the communion is as a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And Jesus reminded us of this, or particularly the disciples of this, in Luke chapter 10. Just take a moment to look at it. 6-7 is the page in the New Testament. Luke 10, verse 20. See, the 70 had been sent out. They'd had a marvelous time. Jesus had told them what to do and what to say, and they came back saying it was absolutely fabulous. "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name," verse 17. "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." See, Jesus presses them back to the fundamental fact of their redemption, of belonging to him, that however much the joy floods our hearts when we go out and serve him and we see what he does, yet the one thing that is unchanging as a source of our joy is our redemption. Fourthly, the deeds that God does for us, his answers to our prayers. We see this in the Bible, of course, how God has done this or done that, and people give thanks to him for drawing them out of a difficult situation and putting a new song of praise into their hearts. Paul praises God for comfort that has been bestowed in the midst of trouble. And there is thankfulness for so many things in which God has been involved. We share this as a congregation. It's one of the lovely encouragements, I think, of the prayer gathering, that we can thank God when one has their eyesight healed under God's mercy. When we had at the last prayer gathering this letter from a Nigerian member of the congregation thanking us as praying for him, for what God had done for him with migraine headaches and so on. Our brother in the legal case that we prayed about. So many things in which we can together thank God. It's good to share in a church family because we hear much more to thank God for. "Let them thank God for his steadfast love," said the psalmist in that first psalm. And lastly, there is the category of thanking and praising God for people. If you look up thanksgiving in the concordance, you'll find and you'll be reminded that almost every epistle starts with Paul thanking God for something in the lives of those to whom he's writing. Now, sometimes he's about to slam them with every gun firing, but before he does so, he finds something to thank them for, or thank God for in them. What a marvelous example. Because so easily we go in with the guns blazing, say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so is just a pain in the neck, that woman. Is there anything you can thank God for? Perhaps there isn't, but try. And begin to think round your friends, because this is what Paul says, he's praying for them, and when he prays for them, he's encouraged to give thanks for them. And you pray for your other friends here, for other members of the church family, for those who work and share in the life here. Begin by just saying to God, thank you so much for their patience, their loveliness, their laughter, their kindness, whatever it may be. So, five categories to help us in marshalling our praises. Creation, God himself, creation, redemption, the deeds that God does for us, and people. Just very briefly as we finish, because I know that you're hot and tired, just ways of expressing this praise and thanksgiving. Obviously, there are exuberant ways. Psalm 150 bids us to get all the instruments out and use them in praising him. And it's marvelous when we can do that here in All Souls. But it may not quite be the right way to praise God in a flat, in a block of flats. It may not be right to blow the trumpet every morning at 6 a.m. as you praise the Lord in your hall of residence. There are limits. And there are different ways of coming to God in praise. For some people, praise will be better expressed in quiet and awe and adoration. For some, it will even be at times in weeping. Ezra 3 tells us that this a crucial moment of the relaying of the foundation of the temple. The older people were weeping and the younger people were shouting with joy, and you couldn't tell the difference. But they all were really praising God. And sometimes I found in my life that emotions well up and my praise to God is in tears, not in shout and noise. But the psalmist tells us also, as we were reminded in the general thanksgiving, that one way of praising God is with fresh obedience and love, with renewed lives, with a renewed dedication to serve him. We offer up our praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, as that prayer puts it, or by giving to his kingdom and for his work. There are many different ways in which we express praise and thanksgiving. Don't let's be limited to one. Many of us find it helpful sometimes to use the hymn book and actually to say through a hymn of praise at the beginning of our personal times of prayer. Some people find help, as I do, from published books of devotion, where it widens our concept of praise and thanksgiving. For most of us, the richest source of encouragement to praise is in psalmody. As we read the psalms and as we see them encouraging us to come through to God, to come back to him in praise, to worship him and adore him, I find so many of the psalms just wonderfully helpful. Psalms that bid us just lift our hands to the Lord. Incidentally, it does mean this, not that. Lifting up our hands, often with the bowed head in adoration and awe, and yet openness, which the hand expresses, to the Lord. Or perhaps you find it helpful and have found it to write your own book of praises, gathering passages, phrases, ideas together, so that you can use them in encouragement in your personal devotion. And I hope you use a prayer diary so that you can praise as God answers those things for which you ask. There are many ways. There are many things to praise and thank for. But above all else, what we need from the Holy Spirit is a spirit of praise and thanksgiving, which wells out in different places and different ways to his glory. So I come back to the text with which I began and would bid us to pray that we may have, as Hebrews 13:15 puts it, the ability to offer to God a continual sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. May God help me, help all of us, to go on learning how to praise and thank our marvelous God.